Welcome back, everybody, to the Talk Shop. This is Tom Mickelson, joined today by
Corey Jamnick.
And I'm the meanest MC since the Grinch stole Christmas. My lyrics penetrate Mike Martin Luther's thesis. Like a fly on the wall, I'm quite improbable. Like Evolution Man, I'm quite unstoppable. I'm about as gangster as a big jar of mayonnaise. Got that flow cause I spit bars like Flonase.
Alright.
I'm the one, the son of a gun. I'm the one, the son of a gun. Magnificent, the one, the bum. You can call me Mr. Breadwinner, but y'all know me cause I'm fucking Sam Center.
Alright.
Good luck adding a beat to that.
I just want to say,
I will figure out a way.
Sam actually didn't tell us that he was doing that. And so when he just started out, I was like, well, right, let's go.
Now that's going to be like a precedence. You're going to have to do that
you
every...
You don't have to do that, but you have to top that every week now.
I'm trying to think about, because I'm the biggest MC since... I'm the meanest MC since the Grinch stole Christmas. My lyrics penetrate like Martin Luther's thesis.
That's good enough.
That's kind of a mouthful, though.
Yeah, it was... I was trying to come up with it as I went. Like, the only thing I had was the meanest MC since the Grinch stole Christmas, and I was trying to go... It's like, I'm the meanest MC since the Grinch stole Christmas. Lyrics penetrate like Martin Luther's thesis. Like a fly on the wall, I'm quite imp... No, what was it going to be? A fly on the wall doesn't make sense. It's not improbable.
I mean, is anyone actually, like, breaking down...
I am.
...your freestyle into stanzas?
Yes, like a metacell complex, quite improbable... Like evolution, I know I'm unstoppable. I'm about as gangster as a big jar of mayonnaise. I'm spitting bars
but
like
fly on prescribed the wall, that doesn't make sense.
like prescribed Flonase.
Does that spit bars? Flonase?
Flonase is it helps you flow better.
I guess
it loosens it up.
That's
called wordplay.
All right.
What's wordplay? That has no place in rap.
You just gotta rhyme just random words.
You
cat,
rap.
Bat, sat. Hat, Nat, Matt, Cat.
Or you can always go like the 40s bitches in Blunt's route.
Yeah.
Cruising down the street and I'm smoking my blunt. Put me in the movies and call me Helen Hunt because I'm capping these fuckers and I know that I'm going to kill them. I bought diamonds so that I could go and grill them.
Can I,
Why would you grill diamonds?
Can I have
having sex like crazy and my sperm, I spill them.
Oops. All right, we need to do something here.
Yeah, all right.
We could go somewhere.
That concludes the freestyle section and woo! Rap analysis portion of the podcast. So how y'all been?
I'm doing pretty good.
Pretty good.
Had a good week.
Who wants to kick things off?
I'm doing great. I found out that I'm having a daughter.
Congratulations.
Very excited about having a little girl. Can I just say that gender reveals and that whole concept is really weird. There's nothing like it in the rest of medicine and healthcare. For example,
keeping information from you.
Well, like kind of like you don't go to the oncologist and like they don't make you look at the wall while they do their scan. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, they're like, here you go. They hand you a little envelope.
You have
and you go and get all your friends together. And you're sitting there, you've got a big box and you're like going to open it up and you do. And, you know, a bunch of white cells come out. Big white cell balloons come out. You've got cancer.
Yay!
We did it. You don't do anything like that. It's just
babies. Maybe you don't. This is the Midwest.
Have you been to every hospital ever? Maybe other hospitals from different areas do that.
Be way too tense. It was tense enough just waiting to hear the gender of your baby.
So have you gone bankrupt buying supplies yet?
No, I haven't gone bankrupt.
Rumped?
Rumped!
Did I say bankrupt?
Yeah, you did.
Well, did you, Sam?
No, as a matter of fact, I'm making really good financial decisions to prepare for my baby coming. Like tomorrow I go and get my tattoo. Anything for my child.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Westworld.
Okay.
This is going to get spoilery. That show's been out for a while now.
If you haven't seen Westworld, watch it before you listen
it's
to
tremendous.
The rest of this.
Yeah, because we're going like, this is like super ultra mega spoiler run.
Spoilers in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Bernard's a host.
They shot John Ford at the end.
They were robots the whole time.
You know the real reason is no one can afford Anthony Hopkins for a second season of a TV show.
No way. That was probably half their budget. The other
it's
half
like
was special effects.
The first season, before you know if it's going to blow up, yeah, you can pay him. You can get away with only paying him $800 million an episode. But season two, they're going to want like $4 billion. $4 billion an episode.
Once it's successful, yeah.
Yeah,
no, I totally agree. Yep.
I I mean, I want to say first that I thought the show was tremendous. It's one of the best shows I've ever seen.
The show's tremendous.
It's
the best show.
It's the best show, bigly.
Wonderful.
The scripts are huge.
I called up, what's his name? He told him he's got the best scripts I've ever seen.
He said, nobody watches the show better than me.
And he picked up a British accent just now.
Nobody watches the show better than me.
Oi, Governor, I'm Donald Trump.
It's me, Donald.
So I had a really hard time suspending disbelief in that whole kind of overarching plot with everything happening with Marv.
Yes, that plot where everything happened.
Maeve. Everything happening outside the park, like in the facility.
Oh, totally. With her taking control of it outside.
I mean,
yeah.
It was just like laughably bad.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so it started with blackmail, right? They're like, hey, you're going to help me do this or I'm going to go out there and get you fired. Maybe that gets you somewhere. That doesn't get you to like superhuman robot sentient uprising.
No, right about the time they were literally giving her unlimited intelligence and conniving and taking away all compassion.
Yeah.
When she's unconscious in the table and can't do anything.
Yes.
And then the guy doesn't brick her.
Yep.
She wakes up and instantly slits the other guy's throat. And she's like, and the Asian guy's like, you tricked me.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
And then.
It's bad.
And then, can I just point out, they built another Maeve. They just built another one.
Yeah,
and it's just no like, okay, deal. Just like, I don't want to get fired. I better make another one.
From scratch, no one will catch this
I better make another host so we can get around the only security precaution preventing her from leaving. Oh, well, I don't have a choice. I might get fired. Get out of here.
Is there absolutely no crossover between departments at Westworld?
That's,
they're completely isolated in every way.
Here's what I was like, making a host is implied in the show to be a very expensive and delicate and long process.
Mm-hmm.
So two random guys who are just techs that just like mop up bodies.
Yeah, they make a point of how low on the totem pole they are.
Yes.
They make a point of how it's a big deal that he's trying to program a butterfly. They're like, you're not ever going to do that. Yeah. You're nobody.
Yep. And then he just like walks up to the host floor like, one host, please. It's like, which one? Oh, yeah, we know this is kind of irregular and this has never happened before, but we need to make another of the same host.
Also,
no red flags there.
Can you make sure to not put the explosive charge in the spine? No, no reason. We're having some code problems with them.
Yeah, no, that was probably the worst part of an otherwise great show.
It was unbelievably bad.
Yeah.
It was, I really like, and then what happened to the, so here's the thing. So Maeve wanted like the robot uprising, right?
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to help all the hosts escape. What about all of their explosive spinal charges?
Exactly.
Did the script just forget about them? Am I just supposed to assume that they've remade all the hosts since my disbelief is past Mars by now anyways?
To a point on that, I thought that they kind of drew attention to that Maeve didn't necessarily want them all to escape. She just wanted to have their bodies to help with the push out.
So she only just cared about herself.
That's what I understood, was that she didn't.
Yeah.
She understood that none of them were going to survive. It was just a matter of getting her out.
And I thought she made it somewhat clear to the, you know, that snake lady, I don't remember what her name is, and the weird bandit guy.
Yeah.
Then she kind of like, they knew they were only helping her get out, I thought.
Yeah, well, that's what I remember too.
How did no security cameras catch anything that happened?
That's what I'm saying.
The security department is garbage there.
They have whole episodes about how tight the security is, and then you just have chaos and
yeah, and like their crack security team when they go in to like neutralize all these hosts.
Yeah, when
guy wanders into a room full of hosts.
So here's my thing. So someone finally sees security footage because all the power goes out. Like, oh, we should see what's going on. Someone finally looks up some security footage and they see a host throwing a person through a wall. What do? They send in three groups of three guys.
Yeah.
They send in nine people. Three at a time.
Nine and they of all the die. Dumbest and then, possible
okay,
people.
Let me so the hosts were hiding on the behavior floor where they're like training the behavior of future hosts, like getting down their body language and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's the sentient evil robot hosts among the normal non-sentient hosts. Wouldn't you just kill everything? Why are you walking through trying to decipher them? You can't. They all look the same.
They made They made a point that they were having money problems and that it's hard to make a new one unless it's just not for the plot.
It's hard to make a new one unless it's to plug a plot hole. Then you can make one right quick.
Also, those things get like blown to hell all the time.
Yeah.
And then they always bring them in, like their charred bodies. And then those, you know, the two knuckleheads like saw off the burnt flesh and put on some new stuff and just like patch job it. Like they couldn't do that with real bullets.
Can I read you the definition? This was a phrase coined by Roger Ebert. Idiot plot. This is the definition of an idiot plot. It is a plot which is kept in motion solely by virtue of the fact that everybody involved is an idiot. That's what that was.
Yeah.
There was no legitimate justification or reasoning or believable course of events for anything that happened. Everyone was just an idiot. Like, the script relied on the incompetence of everybody involved to even be able to roll forward at all.
Yeah, like, they could have just done more, because you do see that one tech, and he's, like, trying to program that bird or whatever.
Yeah.
So he's obviously interested in, like, the idea of giving life to something.
Mm-hmm.
They could have dragged that out and made her, like, play on his heartstrings more, instead of just being, like...
make it, like, a manipulation thing.
Yeah, like, I want to be human.
2.0.
Like, I want to be more human. Can you help me become human? Not just like, you're gonna do this for me.
Or I'm gonna get you fired.
And I kind of respect the actresses, the actress that did that, because she did all of these dramatic scenes completely naked.
Yes.
That's, I mean, let's, before we I'm about to destroy her performance, but before I do that, I just want to say, like, I could not act consistently for weeks on end completely naked with several cameras
on me. Can you imagine, like, you're an aspiring actor.
Uh-huh.
Your agent calls you one day. Yo, man, I got you a role. I got you a speaking role in a new HBO 1 hour long miniseries.
It's going to be as big as Game of Thrones.
Sick. What do? You sit on this bench with no clothes on.
And a man talks to you.
And a man asks you if you're dreaming. And you say, yes.
Is that it?
But here's the thing. She played it so smarmy and like,
Yeah.
It was like Snidely Whiplash level sometimes.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, I'm a villain.
You're going to turn down my compassion.
And turn up my intelligence. And another thing, the thing that just doesn't make any sense to me. There's that intelligence thing they explain that if you turn that up, they'll be smarter than humans. Like, they can process more information.
Yep.
Why is that allowed?
Why is that a
programming? Why do they even put that in there?
Well, to be fair, the whole point of the show is that it's been set up for this to happen for a long time. That's the bigger overwhelming.
But you're telling me no programmers at any point were like, you know, this goes up to like 100 and we only put them at like 20 at any given time. Why do we even have like all this extra space?
It's all part of the conspiracy. It's what's supposed to be. None of it. They all the plot holes kind of get a really easy wipe away treatment in the fact that it's set up that this is supposed to have been happening for a long time. This is the plan.
There's a lot of ambiguous stuff. Like, one thing I I really wondered about, they really blur the lines with host anatomy and what's actually physically damaging to them and what they're just programmed to look like hurts them. So like, there's the scene where Dolores gets stabbed and Logan, that one guy's William's business partner, like, rips apart her stomach and shows her that she's just, like, a bunch of hydraulic tubes. And she's just like, oh. And there's no, like, screaming or bleeding out, I'm gonna die, whatever. She's just like, oh, wow, okay.
Well, because they're not allowed to see anything that gives away what they are.
Yes. But the emphasis being, she didn't seem to actually be in worse physical condition for being stabbed, besides just, like, the initial shock.
I almost wonder if that's the programming, though.
And then, but then in the last episode,
so she doesn't know that there's something to see.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So what is actually physically damaging to a host? What would actually stop one from functioning? Would one bleed out? Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's set up that they can bleed out.
But that didn't happen when she got stabbed in the gut the first time. And in the last episode, she gets stabbed in the gut and bleeds out.
It really... I watched this when it came on.
Yeah, I just finished this week.
This is almost as bad as the fact that we released something on United Airlines a week later after everybody stopped caring about it. You're like, what about this and this? And I've not thought about this show in probably 5 months.
I would like to say that Ed Harris plot twist was one of the most ridiculously cool moments of television ever.
Yeah, I did not call that.
That was such a reveal, like such a great reveal.
Reddit figured that out like in the second episode.
I felt really bad for that character after that. Because can you imagine like going through that, like what we watched on screen with the young William.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you go and see Dolores again and it's just, hey, like you're the only
but
one.
But that's the way it's set up from the beginning.
Oh, absolutely. But he fell in love with a robot that gained sentience and they like had a relationship and then she went missing and then she was just wiped clean. And he remembered everything and she remembered nothing. And then they say he tried to do it a bunch more times. Like, they kept going through that same exact process over and over and over and over again, and it always ended the same way. And he was just like, "Fuck it! I'm done."
He was my favorite character in the show.
Oh, he was awesome.
The Man in Black. I love that they didn't kill him, so he has room to go places. Yep. He finally gets what he wants with a whole sentient
species of robots.
This is kind of an aside. Remember when he scalps that guy and there's like the map thing on it?
The maze, yeah.
Did that ever come to be any consequence, that specific scalp thing?
No, that was totally bait.
Yeah.
Like,
that was just a comeback next week and see what this means.
Because like he never like does anything with it that I can tell. He just like cuts off this. I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense.
Because like, it was striking. It was striking imagery.
How did he know to cut off that scalp?
Because he's been doing it for years and years.
Well, so he's just like, well, I've scalped everyone in town except that guy.
do they put that on? So if he scalped him before, then somebody, when they repair him, have to put that back in. And nobody's like, what does this weird symbol mean?
Okay, wait, how about this? I was thinking about this too. So William, it's revealed the Man in Black owns Delos, the company that runs Westworld.
Yes.
Because he convinced Logan's father to give him the company.
How do you do that?
That's what I'm getting at. Because like when they have Logan naked on the horse and when they get to the edge of Westworld, I don't know if you remember that scene.
I do.
Yeah.
And he's like, I think like now that I run the company, and Logan's like, what? And he's like, yeah, I think your father's gonna need someone more stable. He literally hasn't left an actual fantasy land in 30 years. How did he convince anyone to give him a company?
That wasn't 30 years later. That was all after the first trip when he does that.
Are you going to try and... what do you think the age gap is visually between young William and
old maybe
William?
It's 30 years between that, but I'm saying after he slaps the horse and the naked guy goes running, my assumption is that there was probably a lot of news articles about how the guy that was naked on the horse lost his mind to the fantasy world, which I'm sure is something that happens all the time. I bet it's a danger of going to Westworld.
Yeah.
William comes in and he's like, oh yeah, he really went nuts. He blamed it all on me. I'm obviously more stable. He used the cojones he found.
Am I supposed to assume all of that though?
It's the first season, buddy. I'm sure that they'll go more
and then
into it.
The other thing, Tom brought this up, we were talking about earlier. How exactly do the guns work?
Yeah, they never really explained that.
Because if you're a person and a host shoots you, there's an impact, but it's like a Nerf gun or something.
I thought that it was heat-based.
Is it heat-based?
I thought. That's my because brain then, tells me that they were heat-based.
Because at the end of the show, when Ed Harris is standing there and all of the hosts are coming out of the woods, he gets shot actually in the arm with a real gun from a host.
So either they got a hold of real guns somehow,
or the guns, we don't know, have any idea how they work,
or the sentience is tied to whether or not a pistol is effective.
I'd be more willing to gamble that Maeve took weapons from the special forces people and got them to them somehow.
It was a lever action they show you,
dude. I don't know.
I'm just like, I'm asking questions here, like it doesn't make sense to me. And I sound like this is like Mass Effect levels of me just on something. But I really did love the show, and it's one of the best shows I've ever seen. And I was gonna say I recommend it, but nobody who hasn't seen it is still listening.
If you're part of like the 20 people that listen to us,
yep,
and you haven't seen Westworld,
yeah,
and you just had major points spoiled to you,
yep,
then go see it. go watch it.
Worth your time. Anthony Hopkins,
where are they gonna go in season 2? I
genuinely don't think season 2 will live up to season 1. It sounds like they're going to go all kooky wooky.
What does that mean?
With like the different parks. And like there's going to be a samurai world.
But what's going to happen in the parks?
That's what I'm saying. It's going to be all about the uprising.
Because like...
Oh, I forgot about that. They just offhand show the samurai one. And I was like...
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because like...
Was that Eastworld?
I think they actually show the sign and it's like Samurai World. Because I get the joke, but I think it's actually
the
called
show,
like,
the show Westworld wasn't actually about Westworld, like the setting. It was about the people in the real world, like the overarching world, and the hosts inside Westworld and like their journey. So I don't know what you gain by changing a setting, except like a cool background. Like you have to do something in the setting. Like this, the setting isn't going to be the show.
Unless they just redo...
Unless
Almost
they make
beat
it like
for beat the
unless they
season.
Make it like a serialized, like every episode is its own story,
and everything goes back to normal at the end.
You know, I imagine it'll be the it'll probably really follow after the blueprint of Game of Thrones, in that now you'll have all the different factions within Westworld, the robot factions trying to group together and figure out how they're going to get out, and the humans, of course, fighting back, and you know we'll continue to answer those big questions about what is life, what is evolution, who does deserve to be on top of the life cycle. And there'll be a lot
that
of that.
That could be cool. Like, they could make that work. I think that could be interesting. But like at the end of the day, isn't it just gonna be like who has the most guns?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like what are the samurais gonna do when a bunch of cowboys roll up and just blast them with revolvers? Like,
I've spent about 5 years studying biology and I can summarize it all as who has the most guns. That's all you need to know.
And then the government will just glass it at the end of season two.
This is getting out of hand.
Robot uprising. Nah. But then Maeve will be in New York City.
You would think at Westworld they would just have a big red button that says National Guard.
Break in case of like, robot uprising. I mean, is that like the job safety training? Like, in case of robot uprising, call the president with his red phone immediately.
Pick up this red phone. You don't even have to talk to it. Just knock it off the hook. People will come. Everything will be fine.
They'll take care of
it. The nukes will come.
Anyway, that was the Westworld portion.
That was the Westworld portion.
Speaking of Westworld, me and Corey have been playing a game. Or played yesterday, I guess. Been playing. But
I mean, technically.
Player Unknown's Battlegrounds. Have you ever heard of that, Sam?
I know that it's just picking up enough steam to start getting mentioned on like websites and stuff like that. It's obviously becoming hugely popular very fast.
It's quite fun.
It's so it's a gigantic map. Like if anybody has played DayZ or something, it's like that size map. It's ginormous.
Yeah.
And you start every game, every round. There's 100 people on the server, and everyone starts on a plane, and the plane is flying in a random direction from off map, and it like just draws a random straight line across the map somewhere, and you can jump out anywhere in between. And so you land, and there's a bunch of towns and hills and canyons and mines and coastline and islands and like whole different kinds of terrain. So you land wherever you want. You pick up as much gear as you can, whatever. Skirmish with other players, try not to die. And then the map, like there's a huge circle on the map that basically covers the whole thing. And slowly the circle gets smaller and it shrinks, like periodically. So like every 5 minutes it'll shrink down to a smaller size. And if you're outside the circle, you take damage until you go back in the circle.
Okay, that's cool.
And the circle is always drawn around, like it's like the plane. It's always random. Like you don't know where the circle is gonna go in on the map. So the positioning is really important, because you could be like, I don't know, you got the circle against your back, so you have to run, but you're like running up a hill, so it's really bad. Like it's stuff like that. It's really cool. It's brutal. Like you get shot twice and you're just down. Even if you have like a lot of armor or something, you might get three or four.
Yeah. It's super intense. Did you ever play DayZ when the mod was really picking up steam or anything?
No,
like
I didn't.
That?
No, okay. I've never had a PC that could run games.
It's like a survival game, and there's a lot of like scrounging and stuff. You don't have to like drink water or anything to keep yourself going, but it puts you in an interesting headspace where you're like extremely cautious about every decision you make. Like you'll look at a town, you'll see that some doors are open on buildings, which means people have either been there or they are there currently. So you can decide, maybe we should just skip this town and maybe see if there's another building around. Mm-hmm. And that because you also need supplies. Like the beginning of a round is just, you got to get supplies quickly.
Everyone lands with the clothes on their back and you can just like punch people and that's all you have. So if you like land into a town and you like, you're parachuting in and you look around and there's like five other people, it's like shit.
Oh, you're not on a team with the people you're on the plane with?
No, you're on a team with, well, I mean, it's every,
you can squad up.
You can queue up with friends.
Is there only one plane going, or are there?
There's one plane with
everybody. Oh, one plane for everybody.
Yes.
Yep. Oh, okay.
And it's 100 people on the server, and like every man for themselves. No, there's no like, it's not like 50 versus 50 or anything. It's,
oh, that's cool.
There are teams, but it's whoever just like queued up together. So like me and Tom, for example.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then another thing, if you shoot somebody and they go down and they don't die immediately, that means they have friends around. Like they have friends that are still up.
Who can revive them?
So if you see somebody go down and they're not dead, you have to be extra careful because you don't know if someone's coming up behind you.
Because you know that person who just went down is screaming on their mic like, they're over here!
That sounds really, really cool.
Yeah,
I would play that.
It's an excellent game.
We can try it after the podcast if you like. And then we can convene next week and give our full opinions.
I'm definitely sold. It's something that I'd play. I need to get a nice PC. It's not anywhere on my list of... on priorities, but it'd be cool to have one because it seems like you guys just get all the best stuff early.
You could buy a crib and a stroller.
Diapers or, you know, gaming PC.
You could buy a PC.
No, I like that. Does it play smooth? Because I remember when I looked at DayZ footage, it always looked like it was really rough.
Yep. I mean, that game has been in alpha for 4 years.
Mm.
They haven't even hit beta yet. It's quite a mess.
Yeah, this one, I mean, it's far from perfect playing, but if you think of the scale, 100 people on a giant map and like the amount of server.
I mean, like, I get a solid 60 extreme. Frames.
Yeah, and I like it, it plays well, but there's like some rubber banding.
Is it first person, third action. Person?
You can alternate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's primarily third person, but you can switch to first anytime you want. Yeah. And first is usually better for shooting anyways.
It's pretty cool.
Yes, it is a good game. Do recommend. Hey. Slavic Donut approved.
Try it out.
There will be a day where there'll be a sticker.
Just like a donut seal?
The donut right seal of approval. Of the box. with however many bites are taken out, that's how good it is.
If it's just like a label with nothing on it, that means it's 10 out of 10.
Yeah, it's a perfect game. On the donut scale, that's a
like two crumbs left.
Yeah.
Should we talk about Kendrick's new album?
We can talk about Kendrick's new album.
Let's do it. Darn. Dang.
It's called Damn.
Damn.
In all capitals.
Edgy.
In all big red. Let's talk about it.
Well, what did you think? What's your overall? You listen to it. What do you come away feeling like?
So Kendrick is such a dense and heavy rapper. He's like the War and Peace. Like every album he puts out is so intricate and complicated. That to me, it's almost like modern art because there's so much weird. There's so many beat switch ups and things happening. So many sounds.
Yeah.
And so immediately I respect it because he just works so hard. You can tell that he's not one of those guys that's coasting between albums. He's in the studio and he's thinking of things. He's like, man, what do I want to say here? You know, every fifth beat should have this extra little added onto it and like an echo effect, but only here. And he's doing all these crazy things. So I respect it a lot. But like any kind of modern art, even if you respect it, at some point you have to take a step back and think, am I actually enjoying
what
I'm looking at? That was my problem with To Pimp a Butterfly, was that I respect the hell out of it. I think it deserves all the praise it got, but it's not one that I put on when I'm just cruising around to listen to.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of just like easy listening on that.
Damn is more accessible than that, and actually it starts out really, really listenable, really great. I love Humble, and I really like and DNA is actually a really cool little banger. The beat switch up he does on DNA is ridiculous.
Oh yeah.
When it flips up and something, he's just, I don't even know how he does it that fast that long.
He's got he can spit, man. He spits fire.
But in the middle, he has that weird kind of like draggy, almost drunk, like wishy-washy howling, like guitar sounds and almost R&B auto-tuned, like, ooh.
Oh, the love song?
Yeah, going on. And
I wasn't sure if, how tongue-in-cheek is that, do you think? Do you think that's like a parody of like this, like just pop music, or is that him?
I almost want to say it's a parody, but like I said, I respect the hell out of everything he does. I'm going off of the bouncing off of that into, do I enjoy listening to it?
Yeah.
And I don't enjoy listening to that at all.
Yeah.
That's a definite skip. And before we get into what it's about, cause I think you and me could have a discussion about that. I'll just say that I think it starts out really good. Most of the middle, I'm probably going to skip every time. And then the last song, Duckworth, I really like. Cause that goes back to like the Good Kid, Mad City storytelling way.
Yeah.
Where he's talking about how he wouldn't have existed. I mean, if his dad hadn't been giving this common robber extra chicken every time he came through, because he knew that he was a robber who killed people, and because of that, when he did rob the chicken place, he didn't shoot him. And then the guy that was the robber ends up being the studio owner that gets Kendrick started, and one day his dad and this guy are in a room now with one of the most popular rappers in the world, realizing that one change up in their past would have led to Kendrick not existing and the other guy being in jail. That's just an amazing, I hope it's true, I assume it is.
Yeah, I really liked there's a few I like a few songs. Like I like Humble a lot. I really liked. I didn't think as soon as I saw U2 was on the album, I was a little bit concerned. But that song that they're in I thought was actually very good too, the XXX one. And then
yeah, I agree.
Fear I thought was my favorite song on the album. I think like just him describing coping with fear and like all the situations where he. Like things, all the possible ways he could just die at any moment. It's kind of weird, but like it's very interesting and very thought provoking. I think.
I agree 100%. I think that's lyrically, that's a great song. The beat to Fear, I want to say that I don't like too much, even if I love the lyrical content. Mm. The message of the song, like To Pimp a Butterfly, I knew what that was about. Good Kid, Mad City, I knew what that was about.
Yeah.
Damn is definitely not as focused or clear throughout on its mission statement. It seems to kind of be about him coming to terms with the fact that he got so popular so fast and trying to keep himself from fighting the demons that everybody fights anyway.
Yeah.
while kind of growing into himself and considering, as he's maturing, these heavy things like fear and love and lust and all that kind
of
stuff.
It's a pretty fractal album. Like, it, you know, it goes kind of in a bunch of different places. And I think that, in a way, makes it more personal. It almost seems like it's more just the way he's been thinking, you know, like the way he's been thinking. Like, yeah. there's a lot going on, and like he has thoughts on a bunch of random different things, and he didn't focus at all. It's just, this is what, how it's been.
Yeah.
It seems like, to me anyway. I guess I don't know for sure. But.
Yeah, no, I think that summarizes it pretty well. I'd have to listen, like, to actually, I think, fully grasp a Kendrick album, I think you'd have to sit down, read all the lyrics, and really actually work really hard to actually get a full picture of what's going on. And yeah. I haven't had time to really do that. I've listened to the whole album 4 times.
I've listened to it once, so okay. this is going off of one. I tried to listen closely to the lyrics, but you know, sometimes that's difficult.
Oh, it becomes just a wall of text eventually, almost like a too long didn't read. You're getting hit with so many words so fast.
You know, if you can believe it, I haven't listened to it any times.
I don't buy it. Why are you lying?
You can torture your mind to conceive of such a world.
I know you're listening to it right now in those headphones.
That's why you've been so quiet.
I gotta catch up.
Yeah, listening to it on like 8x speed. Oh, come on.
I got loyalty, But I, all in all, I would say it's my final impression of it based on 4 or 5 listens. Is that it has a curse on it that it's not as deep as To Pimp a Butterfly, and it's not as listenable or accessible as Good Kid, Mad City. And so it falls between those two in kind of a bad space where it's not going to win new fans, I don't think. I think fans are going to listen to it and come on board.
Yeah, I mean, he's got one, the Humble song, like that was very popular when he just dropped it. And yeah. I think that that's probably going to be the one that everybody knows from that album. I don't think anyone's going to really reference this album in hindsight, citing this as his best work.
No, and I get annoyed. It's kind of a whiny album. And it's another one of those where it's like, there's a bunch of repeating things that happen over and over again. You know, what happens on Earth stays on Earth over and over again.
Yeah.
And, you know, why God, why should I suffer? And, like, yeah. All that kind of stuff kind of recurring. And he's an artist, and I think that Kendrick Lamar is a true and genuine hip-hop artist. I think that he is every bit as artistic as any of the biggest greats. You know, your Picasso, your Van Gogh, those kind of people. and artists suffer maybe just right off from the get-go. I don't know if it's, like, a cyclical thing where because they try so hard to access themselves to create more art, they feel things worse and they suffer more. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But I have such a hard time when people get really rich and famous and then they put out whole albums about how miserable they are.
Yeah, that was the thinking in the back of my head. Like, some of the songs, I'm not even sure if he's really referencing himself or if he's just telling a story about maybe life experiences or past life experiences, because it's never, like, completely clear. But if he is talking about himself in some of those songs, it's like, you're famous and rich. Like, you might be feeling bad, but you are famous and rich.
If you hate it this much, stop rapping.
Yeah, you don't know what's forcing you to.
If, like, you hate it this much.
You probably made a ton of money off of this album.
Yeah, I guarantee you can retire or at least have enough to pay for college to go do something else.
At a bare minimum.
Yeah.
Maybe community college.
I was thinking about that, actually, that exact same line of thought. Like, if there's ever anybody that became, like, knew they could sing or write music really well and did it just enough to, like, pay for their college tuition. Like people that join the military to do it.
Yeah.
Whatever, like, I'm going to be famous. Just long enough to get rich to pay for what I really want to do.
Yeah, so that's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that he's still out there making music. Humble will be something I listen to a lot. DNA will probably be, like, I make mixtapes after I hear songs enough times. Those will be ones that kind
of
carry
on.
Can
I have a copy of your mixtape, Sam?
You can have a copy of any mixtape you want. I make them all.
Any mixtape you want. Tape? Even copies that aren't yours?
I'm going to make you a little audio cassette tape, like, that goes in a tape player that's going to be Corey's mix with, like, the O's replaced with hearts.
Nice.
You mean you're going to replace all the O's in my name?
I did that once. I made a... It was. I really liked, like, bands like AFI and punk and stuff like that.
Of course, yeah.
And a girl in church, in my church that I was going to at the time, wanted a copy of it. I don't think I can stress how socially awkward I was at that age, especially around girls.
I
mean, a prison
story. I can guess now.
Like, it was really bad. It was, like, probably medically diagnosably bad. So she asked me for this album. She's super nice about it, but she was a girl. So I made it, and I wrote... her name in the mix and at church. Like, it was like I was trading drugs for money. Like, I ran up to her, I threw it at her with absolutely no hello or anything, and I said, "You didn't get this from me," and I ran away.
What?
Just for making her a CD.
Nice.
What were you afraid of?
Well, it was secular music.
Oh.
And I wasn't allowed to listen to secular music.
Of course.
So yep. I wasn't supposed to have it at all. So that informs it a little bit.
It's coming together.
But I still could have been like, "Hey, how are you here? I made this for something." Yeah. Come on, kid. But I just remember she looked like I punched her. She's like, like ran up and I like threw it. I was like, "You didn't get it from
me."
Was
it ever spoken about after that?
No, I still see her every once in a while. Actually, pretty regularly.
Should bring it up.
Things hey, better
you
now.
Listen to that mixtape I gave you? Can I have it back?
What mixtape? You don't remember? The one I bruised you with when I threw it at you?
Threw it at your head.
Oh, man. That's like this one time I was out with a walk with a girl that I was trying to romance. This was my senior year of high school. And it was going pretty well. But I, again, just didn't know how to handle the fact that it was even going well. So like a bee was buzzing around. And like I made a fist and I was like, "It's on your face." And proceeded to pretend to like air punch her like 60 times. Like, once it might have been okay. But I like went berserk. I was like, "Aah!" Like, and I'm not kidding. Her eyes were like really big. And I was like, "Aah!" And I was like, "Hee hee hee. Did you see that?" And right after that, "Oh, my mom's calling." Oh, I forgot I had to go meet her now. It was over after that.
Yeah.
Never hung out with her again.
That's all it takes.
Just a pantomime beating.
Getting the beat. Like,
it's the thin line between date succeeding and failing.
I just want to make it clear. It wasn't like playful. Like, it was like
punching her in the face.
It was like.
She was on the ground begging.
Stop.
My mom's calling.
She looked legitimately scared.
Do you see that girl regularly now?
No, I have no idea what happened to her.
Man, we have so many like dating tips from stories.
Don't air punch people.
I feel like it comes up at like once a podcast.
Yeah.
Sam's pro dating tips.
What not to do. Episode 9.
Don't lock your girlfriend in a closet during a fire drill.
Don't put your fear of getting in trouble over her safety. It's not a good way to win.
I love them. Like, my favorite part of that story is that, you know, it's just some like BS army thing. I gotta go outside and stand around, but she's like, "Am I gonna burn to death?"
No, I want to make something very clear so that you know how much of a douchebag I am.
Okay.
At that exact moment, I didn't know if it was a fire or not.
Yeah.
As far as I knew, the building was burning down, but before I was gonna get in trouble, I was gonna go make sure. If I'd seen like a fire on the first floor, I would have texted her, "Yeah, maybe you should leave."
But could you go out the
you
window?
You wouldn't even go back for it. You just text her? Yeah.
Could you tie some bed sheets together and just go out the window, though? And don't say you know me. But oh, the building man. Is on fire. You should probably leave.
So free the nipple.
All right.
What about have you guys heard about Free the Nipple, this whole movement?
I have no problem with it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's going to be my main point. Women, feminists, have this really big movement going through in some sectors, usually younger women. They want to be able to show their nipples as easily as men do.
Okay.
They think it's ridiculous. They think it's ridiculous that they have to hide that. That's considered pornographic.
Let's be completely honest. If you surveyed everyone in America, how many people would actually be like, "Yeah, I don't think you should do that"?
Every woman over 40.
So it would
No, but I love it because it's so directed at men. They're like, "Men want us to cover up, but I'm not going to anymore. I'm taking off my shirt and I'm showing you my
tits."
This is okay.
Like,
sure. And every dude in the world's like, "Yeah, okay."
This is like reverse psychology, but you
got me.
This is like perfect reverse psychology, but they talk themselves into it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's amazing because like there are girls putting naked pictures of themselves on Facebook and stuff.
Okay.
And it's like you're okay, this is awesome. Like, do that. The least resistance from their male enemies ever.
Yeah, from the people who they're targeting, the people who they're like, "Yeah, I'm going to show them," are just like, "All right.
Yeah, show me."
We've been trying to trick you guys into doing it for years.
We just didn't. We never thought of this approach.
Empowerment.
You know, if you went back to the root of it, it was just the most genius, pervy dude.
he just
totally playing.
He just made some Facebook group.
He did like the, he had one of those Inception machines and went like five dreams deep and was like, you want to show your nipples?
It's ridiculous that you can't show your tits.
Wakes up.
Free the nipple! Hashtag free the nipple. But their philosophy is that men will stop sexualizing breasts if it becomes just commonplace. And my answer to that is, yeah, because cleavage got old very fast. You never hear about that anymore.
That's really I haven't heard at all about this, so that's very funny to me.
I have like some very, very feminist friends. Like hardcore feminists, and
Oh, so you think you're better than me?
No, I don't know why they keep me around. I regularly fight with them.
Do you have any black friends too, Sam, that you want to talk about?
I have one. On Facebook.
We've never actually met in person.
I always get really excited when he comments on something, because I'm like, now everyone will see. I'm down with the urban community.
I listen to Kendrick.
But you regularly fight with your ultra-feminist friends?
Oh, totally, all the time. Because I believe in true equality.
Yeah.
I believe in everybody getting paid the exact same, earning your place.
Except the Jews. I mean, let's be...
My problem is that...
Can you bleep Jews so people won't know what it... Not like because Jews is bad, but so it's ambiguous which group I was targeting.
I mean, I could.
It was the Jews.
I mean, you don't have to blur. I think it's funny either way.
Bleep it a bunch of times. It was the Jews.
For every time.
It was the Jews, by the way. Don't let them get away with that.
I don't care.
The Judaic community.
I don't care if you hear me saying Jews. I just think it's funnier if people
Headline.
Have to guess.
They have
Corey
a lot.
Hates Jews.
They have a lot of lawyers.
They own all the media companies. They'll print my name everywhere.
That actually kind of reminds me. You've both seen Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Yes.
Remember when when Gavin Belson goes up and does the press conference? And he compares the plight of billionaires to being the Jews in Nazi Germany. And then the next day he has like all the rabbis and stuff like touring the office. And he's like, and then we'll have the, it's not a Holocaust memorial or something, but he's like, and then he says, well, we'll put it right next to the bike rack for like the, in some like appreciation of Jewish culture. I don't remember what it is. I love that show so much.
That's it's almost as bad as, you know, saying that Hitler never used chemical weapons on his own people.
That was so bad.
That was so bad it took a minute to sink in for me. Like, I heard the news and I was like, oh, another stupid thing.
Like, it was... No, hang on. Can I tell you my thought process?
Mm-hmm.
It was such a boldly stated thing that it took me a second to, like, check against my own mind if I was the one who was wrong.
Yep. That happened
like,
to me, too.
Is he... No. What?
I'm telling you, that was a drill. Like, landed right here on my head and then... slowly dug its way in, because you hear about stupid stuff coming from that administration all the time.
Yeah,
and then but that one, like, it was like I was in bed, I was woken up out of a deep sleep. I was like, that is literally the stupidest thing, and it's gone now.
Yep.
Which, speaking of which, I apologize for last week's episode because all the news we talked about was old a week later.
Yep.
Sorry,
but
God.
it was still funny.
It was.
Oh, that wasn't a knock against you.
I mean, this isn't a political podcast.
No, not really.
I don't.
I hope nobody's listening to us. How should I feel about what's happening? I need to hear the Purple Chops view.
But I am running for president 2020. Okay.
I do want to go back to the United Airlines thing, because I've faced some shocking things in the week since.
Yes.
There are hardcore apologists for United Airlines.
I interacted with some myself.
So here's my thing. It is in their policy, when you buy a ticket that you agree to, that you could be involuntarily bumped from a flight. That's not... At least in my mind, that's not what anybody's really that angry about.
Yeah.
People get bumped from flights all the time. It's what you agreed to. Sure, you didn't read the fine print. No one does. That's still your problem. The problem is not that he got booted from a flight. It's that he got his teeth knocked out and his nose broken. And he got knocked unconscious and concussed and dragged out of a plane for just sitting there going, no, I don't want to leave.
And it's that and also
that's
like
the problem.
How non-flexible they were with the policy. Like,
yes.
He said he was a doctor and he had patients that he needed to get back to.
Yeah.
Couldn't they just move on to somebody else? I know it was a randomly picked and that's the fair way, but like, couldn't they just do another random picking and just... it would be funny if it was him again. But
all right, we flipped a coin again. Sorry.
My favorite thing that's come out of it is that, you know, because I'm talking about people that like are hardcore on United Airlines. Yep. The worst thing I saw was an article, not even from a pilot, from a pilot's wife, who, you know, was sitting at home in her bathrobe.
I'm sure it was written by a pilot's wife and not some old, like, white guy.
Oh, no, I actually totally believe it was a pilot's wife. It's like in the military, officers' wives, who are notoriously the worst people on the planet. Respect my husband's rank. No, you know, this was totally somebody that's like, my husband is a pilot. She's sipping her, you know, coffee or her wine or whatever.
Her chai latte.
Her coffee cup that says, I wish this was wine, you know that. And this woman in this article is like, my husband, I just want him to come home safe every night to me and my kids. And so I think it's great that they dragged him off the plane because that's what's going to keep my hubby safe. And she cites 9/11. She goes so far as to cite 9/11 in this article.
I mean,
like,
he
after 9/11.
I mean, he did have darker skin. Yeah, we don't know what he was going to do. I've seen some just straight up character assassination stuff. Like, did you know the doctor is? It was a gambling addict.
Okay,
I was going to get into that next.
Okay,
he actually, his license was almost revoked because he was giving out poor medications to people.
It's like, what? How is that relevant?
All right, let's punch him. Get him.
That's what I'm like. Oh, I forgot.
Let's get the guys with guns.
I forgot that only currently practicing medical professionals deserve any kind of respect or human decency.
If that guy was a dishwasher, man, f*** him. They should have broken his legs while they were at it.
I also like. I heard some people just staunchly convinced that he was being belligerent, like he was like scaring people on the plane, which is like there's video of
people defending
and not only
him.
Is there a video, it's 2017.
There's videos everywhere
with people who are rich enough to buy a plane ticket.
Usually
everyone,
the Venn diagram kind of crosses between phone owners
and when I say rich enough, I mean, if you can afford a plane ticket, you have a camera in your pocket all the time. There's like 40 different camera angles of this guy just sitting there.
Yeah, but like because of that one United statement where they said like, oh, he was being belligerent and had to be removed. It's like, why do you just believe that and not like the many camera angles?
I mean, what was our joke last week where it was like the marketing or the PR guy from the 40s is like, yeah, we'll cover this up in the news. Like,
they don't believe anything we say.
Completely oblivious to the fact that everyone actually physically saw what happened.
But I'm telling you, man, it's becoming a scary world. I'm sorry, but it's becoming a scary world out there where we have people upright defending people getting thrown off planes with their noses broken. Like, he should have just done what they said.
When something can,
what is that?
Yeah, like when something can be boiled down to a political issue, then it instantaneously splits off into the two groups. There's like no like middle ground where like it's their policy. But he also got his nose broke. Like that's just the facts. That's either it's their policy or he got his nose broke, bro. It's like there's no like it's both true. Like
And that'll also be reasonable and say everybody's outraged now because United announced no one's going to get fired. No United employees technically did anything wrong. They did everything they were supposed to do. They went down the list of the policy. They checked all the boxes, and then
Who would they fire? Like the security? That must have been that's airport security.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's
so fire them.
Yes,
they're the ones who like dragged.
That's, like in just completely in the name of honesty and being reasonable. That's I mean, who are they going to fire? They didn't do anything wrong. They called the people, and those are the people who messed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
who also didn't get fired, which is another issue.
But
how can you just? Go to work. If I went to work tomorrow and I broke someone's nose and I knocked out their teeth and I concussed them, I'd get fired.
Oh, here's the deal.
If you did that, you'd probably be fired?
Yes.
I mean, just in the normal course of doing your job.
Unless I could prove that I was
here,
being...
let's take your temperature here.
Oh! He was getting uppity. That 97-year-old.
It'd be more
that 97-year-old with a broken femur was getting very uppity.
It'd be like a guy in the emergency room and you call somebody who's after him. To go in before him, and then you just punch him.
I worked security before I was a nurse. I was a security.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I can tell you it's a very weird community. And I can only take what I know about the people that worked there and transfer some of it to airport security. And I can only imagine that they have a real complex that they're all that stands between terrorism and the United States. I guarantee you that they amp themselves up. You know, they go to dinners and their parents are like, why aren't you cops? And they're like, because I'm doing the real fight. You know, they're
TSA is definitely like that. Like I get hassled by TSA more than like anybody else. And I'm just like,
they're just like, it seems like they go out of their way to just be belligerent.
Yeah.
Like there's genuinely no need for them to behave.
I was walking through the scanner and there's this guy standing and he's like kind of cross-armed. But he's not like signaling to me or anything. I'm just walking through, going to get my bag, you know, get my shoes back on, put on my belt, put on my shirt, whatever they make you take off.
Yeah.
And then he's just, I was wearing like a Spy versus Spy t-shirt in like the Mad Magazine comic.
Yeah.
And then I'm like walking by, heading towards my bag. I'm clearly looking at it. And then he's just like, whoa there, Spy versus Spy. And he just like pushes me back. And I was like, well, I didn't know I was supposed to stop. You in no way indicated that there was any further interaction here. I just want to get my bag and go to my plane, please. I walked through the scanner, and then he was just like squeezing my pockets because if they get bunched, they're like, oh, it's a bomb, of course.
The classic lint bomb.
And as far as I know, there's never actually been a recorded instance of the TSA actually stopping a terrorist.
No. Never. Nope. Never. Literally not once.
And they've stolen hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of things from people's bags.
They and they do yearly like the US, they outsource to third party private security companies to like audit the TSA, like their policies basically. Where like they'll be given a task, hey, we want you to get this through airport security. And it'll be like a bomb. And so the company will like split up the bomb into like 40 pieces and send a bunch of people through. And they'll put it together on the other side and they'll be like, we did it. And then it makes a headline and everyone gets mad. And then 2 weeks later, everything's the same.
Anyway, you were talking about security. I think we kind of cut you off.
Oh, yeah.
No, I think I'm done.
Oh, it's just the complex.
Just that they probably came together the next day and they were like, it's what we had to do, bro. When the wolf is at the door, you got to give him the spear. Sure, this time it was just a well-intentioned
middle-aged Asian man.
But next time, it's the next Osama. They all gave each other high fives. They went out for beers.
Yep.
The way I smashed his face into that armrest?
Got him.
That was so good, dude.
There was a statement from the United
Legal... Too bad Johnny Public can't handle it.
So the defense that United's legal team seems to be going with now is that he was trying to get thrown off the plane so that he would get injured so that he could sue for a settlement.
Oh, yeah.
Like it was all part of his plan.
Isn't it a random number that picked him? Isn't it a whole randomization?
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
If he was forward-thinking enough, then good for him. He deserves it. No matter what, he got his nose broken.
I mean, even if that's true, here's what he's guilty of. Sitting in his chair with his hands in his lap.
Yeah, right.
Wanting to go on the flight he paid for.
That evil bastard.
What a conniving mastermind.
Was he technically breaking the rules by not voluntarily getting off the plane? Yeah. Did he deserve to get his teeth knocked out? Probably not. There's a pretty natural escalation of force.
Yeah.
There is such
a thing as excessive force.
When dealing with someone who's technically in the wrong, I don't think, like, you just baton a person.
You have to build up to that.
Brass knuckle.
If he was, like, throwing punches, maybe.
You know. Well, I mean, at that point, you just bring him down, right?
I think he was just squirming and going, nah. Yeah. He was making, like, a little pig squealing.
Yeah, he was reacting was really the weird. Way yeah. any
that
human...
That was actually kind of very strange noise he was making.
He was reacting the way any human being reacts when being forcibly moved. And I don't mean, like, you watch the video. He's just, like, squirming around. Like, he's just being uncooperative. He's not, like, being aggressive. Yeah. He just doesn't want to be dragged away.
Well, the noise was off-putting that he was making.
I thought it was kind of hot.
Are you telling me that's his like...
It was his Wario impression.
That's his... He's in an emergency situation and that's the noise he makes? He doesn't go like...
He's a doctor! He's a doctor!
Help me!
His patients are
Doctor
crashing.
Doctor United man to 6 West stat.
He's crashing, doc!
We got a code.
You can hear him all the way down the hall.
I might die. Somebody call him.
It's just like the Doppler effect. Runs by your room.
You picture like he's in bed with his wife, 2 in the morning, pager goes off. Doot 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 doot. Oh man.
So yeah, he should have had his nose broken.
Yeah, he actually
noise.
That noise was annoying enough to justify a severe beating.
Yeah, the security guards were probably just like, dude, stop making that noise. Like, I'm gonna break your nose if you keep doing it. Slaps his face into the armrest.
Hello, I'd like a number 2 with a side of fries and a chocolate shake. Oh, I'm sorry, sir, we're actually out of chocolate shakes.
Okay, okay.
We'll just make
is
some
vanilla. Okay.
Put some chocolate syrup in one of the white milks.
Well, we got one good bit out of this, boys.
We did. It only took an hour and a half.
All right.
Wait, have we been going that long?
No, it's only been an hour.
It's been an hour.
I got here at 6:30.
Well, look at that. We're already at the
look at the time go.
Well, what did we learn today, boys?
I learned that we should make all diagnoses like gender reveals. I want to know. Oh, can we make it like a game show?
Yeah, sure.
Can we like
what's my diagnosis?
Like, what's the game with the three doors? You either get a car, you get nothing, or you figure out whether you're positive for AIDS or not.
You just learned that in general, the diagnosis reveal should be more fun.
You get to drive home in the car, but you don't know if you have AIDS.
I learned that the only acceptable noise to make in an emergency situation is a pig-like squeal, like you're panicking and also screeching at the same time.
I learned that Westworld wasn't actually as good as I thought.
Really? God.
Well, thank you for listening,
everybody.
This episode.
Let's try and get a guest on next week.
Okay.
Right over 200 views.
Yeah. I think we got 200 downloads.
Yeah, we got 200.
Whoa.
We got 200.
Thanks for the downloads, by the
200
way.
200 downloads. That's not even listens. That's people that kept it on their phone.
Yeah, took up space. We're taking up space on 15 people's phones week to week.
I subtracted our views times however many there are and subtracted that and then divided it by the number of episodes there are. And I actually think we're up to like 30 people.
Wow. Ooh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I don't know who you are, weirdos.
I don't know why you listen to us, but thank you.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. Hi, Sam's dad.
Keep doing it. Yeah. Weekly shout out to my dad, bro.
Who else? Can we shout out anyone? We call everybody personally, first, last name, address.
Yeah. Let's just dox everybody.
Occupation.
On air right now.
Place of work.
Do you want a personal shout out from the Purple Chop crew? Send us your name.
Drop us a line.
We'll send us other people's names.
First and last name.
We don't care.
We'll read any information
we'll
you send us.
We'll call out anybody. Want us to insult somebody? We'll insult the shit out of them.
We have no scruples.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yep. And we will return next Thursday with a brand new episode.